It is just after 5 p.m. here in the city of Kingston, and this is Today in YGK. I'm Jesse Bell, filling in this week for Christina Laurie. Our first story comes courtesy of Christina Laurie from CFRC 101.9 FM.
Bustling street corner of Princess and Montreal Street, local artist Abby Nowakowski is hard at work painting a seldom noticed traffic control box with the help of the city's public art coordinator, Taylor Norris. Nowakowski described her critter-inspired piece, finding home between the cattails and the trilliums.
The piece itself is inspired by lots of local critters that are here. So we've got like a northern flicker, great blue heron, trilliums, cattails, a fox, turtle. And I chose all of those creatures by, I reached out to kind of my community on socials and asked like, you know, Kingston folks, what kind of critters would you like to see in this mural? So try to fit as many as possible onto this box.
This piece is part of the Traffic Control Box Pilot Project, an initiative to brighten downtown by transforming traffic control boxes along Princess Street into vibrant pieces of public art. The project aims to support local artists, bring vibrancy to the downtown core, while also helping to deter graffiti. The city has commissioned 5 local artists working in different styles and mediums: Ben Nelson, Grace Dixon, Sasha Jimenez French, Aaron Wun, and Abby Nowakowski. Norris noted that local businesses and city staff have been advocating for this initiative to bring some more color downtown. Norris shared a bit more about this project with CFRC.
So for the first phase of this project, I have been working with local artists to sort of experiment with using these traffic control boxes as a platform for public art in downtown Kingston. So we're doing 2 different strategies. We're going to do a couple that are painted with murals, so that's what Abby and I are doing today, and then 2 others will be done in a vinyl wrap, just to see how the project works, how the community likes it, if painting is better than vinyl, if they both work. So for this first phase, I directly commissioned artists through our temporary public art program, and our policy were able to do that. So I invited Abby. I had seen her mural work before, and I thought it would be a great addition to the pilot project to experiment with. And I know that Abby would be a really good fit for this location at Montreal and Princess in front of Rocking Horse. So that's, yeah. Normally these boxes are just painted black. They hold all the controls for traffic lights at every intersection that has them. So they're like a really great just blank canvas.
For artists like Nowakowski, opportunities like this have been few and far between in the past. But she notes the landscape is changing with projects like this.
Have opportunities like this been becoming more abundant in Kingston? What's kind of the landscape that we're looking at?
That's a really good question. I feel like I want to say yes, that it has become more abundant, but I think that's because there's people like Taylor who are actively wanting to create and advocate for opportunities. But with that advocating, we need more funding, right? So the more people see cool things like this and appreciate, it means there's gonna be in the future more need and want for artists to be paid for, you know, creating culture in Kingston, because there's so many local artists here. So it's nice to kind of pull on what we already have happening here in Kingston.
Artists are also adapting, making sure they're ready to take on unique opportunities.
Being an artist today means like wearing a lot of different hats. When we get access to, you know, art making opportunities, paid art making proper opportunities, it's easy to jump on them and say a hard yes, because those type of opportunities unfortunately don't come up that often. So yeah, it's a pleasure to be gifted this opportunity.
With this first wave of public art underway, Norris hopes the project can continue to bring color to unexpected places.
I mean, we've got no shortage of these traffic control boxes across the city. And we've got no shortage of like pre-existing like utilitarian architecture and infrastructure that can be activated as platforms for public art. So this first phase, we're working out all the kinks, you know, like the boxes are all in different condition. So what are the prep needs? What is the cost of prep? Like, what contractors do I need to work with? What work do I need to do? What artists will work best? You know, it takes 3 to 4 days to install a mural, so that requires us to be on site. So that means we have to navigate weather, traffic, all those sorts of things. And then with the vinyl, it gives me an opportunity to work with artists who work in digital mediums, digital illustration, graphic design. And then those boxes require a different level of support and prep to get the art onto those. So I'm hoping we'll see how everything goes over the winter, see how the murals last, what damage happens, if any, hopefully not, and then the community feedback. And ideally, we'll be able to expand the program next summer to more and more locations across the city.
Two boxes are complete and three are still in progress, and passersby downtown are already taking notice.
We're just really excited to be able to get more ground level opportunities.
Thank you. I'm not used to making in such a public sphere, so it's actually been such a nice and validating thing to be actively making and having the people who will be admiring this for the next little while. And you know, this is ultimately they're all gonna own this piece, basically, because now this is gonna be in their neighborhood. So to hear everyone kind of being like, oh, that's so nice, it makes us feel good. Yeah.
No, it's great. It's been really positive, and a lot of people didn't even know these boxes were here. Mm-hmm. So now that they've got these barrels on them, they're like, how long has this box been here? And we're like, over a decade. So yeah, just to be able to bring some vibrancy and some beautiful art to a street corner will hopefully, you know, brighten everybody's day as they pass by, kind of thing.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Thank you to Christina Laurie for that story. It's time now for the weather and traffic report for the City of Kingston. This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, August 6th, 28, still feeling closer to 31, a little less haze in the forecast, mix of sun and cloud. Thursday, August 7th, we're going to see a daytime high of 26, feeling closer to 30. However, just humid, no haze from wildfire smokes in the forecast for Thursday, August 7th. Friday, August 8th, 27, feeling like 29. A hot, humid, sunny, and ultimately quite beautiful day here in the city of Kingston. Moving into the weekend, Saturday, August 9th, daytime high of 28, feeling closer to 30. Sunday, August 10th, high of 28, feeling closer to 33. It's going to be a hot Sunday here in the city of Kingston. And then into the start of next week, Monday, August 11th, daytime high of 29, feeling closer to 32. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Earl is closed until August 8th from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. each day for boulevard reinstatement work. Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 to Middle is closed until August 15th for the removal and replacement of a culvert. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484. Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Carlton Street, Alfred to Guy is closed until August 8th for a gas main installation. Catwoods Drive, Woodhaven to Tenley is closed until August 13th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day for roundabout upgrades. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Guy Street, Carlton to Division, closed until August 8th for a gas main installation. Johnson Street, Victoria to University, closed until August 5th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day for road resurfacing. Ontario Street, Brock to Clarence, closed August 4th from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. for the Rolling Barrage PTSD Foundation Ride event. Ontario Street, Brock DeClarence, closed until August 8th at 8 a.m. until August 10th at 3 p.m. for the Thousand Islands Kingston Poker Run. South Bartlett Street, Smith of Victoria, closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham, Princess to Queen, closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Union Street, Albert to University, closed August 6th to 13th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for road resurfacing. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett, closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. And Woodburn Road, Hitchcock to Whitechurch, closed for a contractor to complete culvert relining. Here are other delays to keep an eye on. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson. Expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners. Expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle. Expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper. Expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users and accommodate increased traffic from the Wabin Crossing. Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road. Coming up next, we have the CFRC Sports Report. This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is part 6 of our 2025 OUA football season preview. Today, we're looking at the Ottawa GGs. I have long been on the record as a GGs skeptic, and 2024 did little to challenge those beliefs. They began the season with a lopsided loss to Western before picking up easy victories over York and Waterloo. Then Queens rolled into town and stomped a mud hole in the GGs before walking it dry with a 48-20 shellacking that was actually even worse than it sounded on paper. That loss knocked the GGs for 6, but to their credit, they managed to rebound from an ugly losing streak to win 2 key games against Carleton and Toronto to clinch a playoff spot. Ottawa would make the most of this opportunity, giving the Guelph Griffins a great game on the road, but they did ultimately fall 26-15. There is a lot of continuity with this 2025 GGs squad. They've got a lot of key starters back, but they have a challenging schedule. I have the GGs winning their season opener against Waterloo and then dropping 5 straight against some of the OUA's stronger competition. Ottawa will win their final 2 games of the season against Toronto and Windsor to finish with a 3-5 record and make the playoffs. And I think we are going to see a playoff rematch between the Ottawa GGs and a team that has had their number in recent years, the Queens Gaels. That's a wrap for today's sports report. Tune in next week to hear part 7 of our OUA football season preview as we focus on the Windsor Lancers. Coming up next, we have your local concert and events calendar. Well, let's begin with concerts. On Wednesday, August 6th, we have got Euro Cafe Duo playing accordion and jazz at the Bank Gastro Bar from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Christopher Jackson performs folk and rock at the Creekside Bar and Grill from 6 to 8 p.m. And in Springer Market Square, the LaSalle Causeway Swing Band brings a free hour of big band jazz from 7 to 8 p.m. On Thursday, August 7th, Benji Rowland performs a one-man folk set at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. Entry is by donation. J.S. Miller plays indie rock on the Helm Dockside Patio from 6 to 8. Grackles and the Rough Notes hit Tommy's from 8 to midnight, and karaoke kicks off at the Tiernanog at 9 p.m. On Friday, August 8th, the Wolf Island Music Festival begins at 5:30 p.m. at St. Margaret's Hall with Good Fortune, Almond Milk, and Holy F. Tickets are available online. The Voodoo Rock Fest also kicks off Friday at Voodoo Ranch from noon to 11 p.m. There's a full festival lineup with tickets starting at $25. Courtney Kane brings a free country set to Springer Market Square at 7 p.m. And Walks of Life Open Mic starts at Next Church at 7:30. At 8:30 p.m., Holto Wolf Island features Ontarians and Matthew Holtby. And folks can catch Lucanus Pell playing at Tiernanog from 9 p.m. to midnight. On Saturday, August 9th, the Livestock Music and Craft Festival runs from 10 to 5 at Second Chance Ranch with sets by Whiskey Smoke, Courtney Kane, and more. Saturday sessions at Confederation Park run 11:30 to 3:30, and folks can also enjoy a free concert with piano and vocalists on the lawn of St. George's Cathedral from noon till 1. Wolf Island Fest continues at 3:30 p.m. at St. Margaret's Hall with Born Ruffians headlining. You'll also find the Complete Unknowns at the Creekside from 4 to 7 p.m., the Maduros at Time Out Bar and Bistro starting at 6, and a heavy metal rock show at the Broom Factory at 7:30 with Teeth, Cruel Intent, and Fools of 07. Tickets are $20. On Sunday, August 10th, Live Music Sundays are back at Finkel's Shore Park from 2 to 5 p.m. with Tyler Brett Forks, Marion Drexler Band, and Fiddle Earth. Catch Lisa Lehman and Wildcard play at Time Out Bar starting at 3 p.m., followed by an open mic with Scotty at 7. And finally, Head Over Heels brings folk jazz to the patio at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. Have a local concert that you would like covered on CFRC's website and on our news programming? Contact us today at cfrc.ca. Here are some great community events running in Kingston this week. On Wednesday, August 6th, Games in the Square brings oversized board games to Springer Market Square from 6 to 8 p.m. Think Giant Connect 4, Snakes and Ladders, Cornhole, and more. It's free, fun, and family-friendly. At 7:30, head to the Domino Theater for Merrily We Roll Along, a youth-led musical presented by Blue Canoe Productions. Tickets are $22 to $28. And from 8 to 10:30 p.m., check out Kingston's only open-stage drag show at the Grad Club, hosted by Rowena Way. It's a 19-plus night with a $5 cover. On Thursday, August 7th, Stories in the Square starts at 10:30 a.m. in the City Hall Amphitheater with songs and stories for the kids. It will move indoors to the library's central branch if it rains. At 6 p.m., Life Drawing is on at Art Noise with a nude male model. It's $10 to drop in and open to all sketching levels. Movies in the Square is showing Talladega Nights at Dusk in Springer Market Square. Also on Thursday, the TK Fringe Festival kicks off with 11 days of unjuried, uncensored theater across the city. Check out theaterkingston.com for the full lineup. On Friday, August 8th, enjoy line and square dancing in Springer Market Square from 6 to 7 p.m. It's a fun, free way to start your weekend. If trivia's more your style, Music Trivia with Terry is on at the Loaf and Ale from 7 to 11 p.m. And the Thousand Islands Poker Run rolls downtown Friday afternoon with over 80 boats on display at Confederation Basin. You can check them out until 10 p.m. On Saturday, August 9th, the Poker Run officially launches at 10 a.m. Boats head down the St. Lawrence and return between 2:30 and 3:30. The final card flip and crowning happens at 8:30 p.m. It's also the Women's Art Festival at City Park from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with over 150 artists, live music, kids' activities, food vendors. Chef demos are back in Springer Market Square at 11 a.m. with Tango Nuevo cooking up something delicious. $2 samples are available afterwards. The Tiendanega Powwow begins at sunrise with gates opening at 9 a.m. and the grand entrance at noon. Admission is $12 for adults and $6 for elders. You can also catch a 1 p.m. matinee of Merrily We Roll Along at the Domino Theater. And on Sunday, August 10th, the Tiendanega Powwow continues with another sunrise ceremony and full day of drumming, dancing, and storytelling. Yoga in the Park is on at Battery Park from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's free, guided, and all you need is a mat. And the Poker Run wraps up on Sunday with boats still on display and highlights playing on the big screen on Ontario Street. Have a local event that you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Egg Salad, a brand new release from local jazz musician Oscar Evans. This is an original jazz composition mixing Brazilian rhythms with classic American swing styles, a bold and funky musical exploration featuring some of Kingston's finest jazz players. Catch Oscar literally everywhere and anywhere in Kingston, and keep up with the latest by following him on Instagram at Oscar Mayfield Evans. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Egg Salad by Oscar Evans on your favorite platforms and enjoy it with us now here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
broadcasting 24/7, 365. You're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
On today's episode of Word Labs, I'm joined by writer and artist Ryan Ewing. You may be familiar with Ryan as the creative force behind Pocket Thought Zines. Ryan has been creating zines in Kingston since the late 1990s, and over the last 7 years, his zines have been enjoyed by readers all around the world. Ryan's zines are full of satire, deep thoughts, comics, poetry, and a whole lot of randomonium, which is to say that each page can be a surprise. Ryan loves hosting zine-making workshops, having previously hosted them at Kingston Writers Fest and at the Kingston Front Public Library. I spoke to Ryan about his upcoming three-part zine writing workshop with Word Labs, which will walk students through brainstorming, design, and creation of individual and a collective zine. Welcome to Word Labs Out Loud.
You've been writing zines for a couple of decades now. Why zines? And for people who don't know, what are zines?
Well, that's a multi-layered question, isn't it? Zines, we'll start with that. Typically done on the cheap, by the cheap, for the people, by the people, independent underground publication, usually done using a photocopier or a home printer. Small in distribution, but from the heart. And getting into that, like a lot of people, stumbling into it, really. I was making zines without realizing I was making zines. When I was a teenager back in the 90s, I wanted to make my own comics and started making my own newsletters and things, and did this for, you know, a couple years. And then someone came to me and said, "Oh, hey, I really like your zine." And I said, "You like my what?" And they had to explain to me what I'd been doing for a couple years. So, and then to learn that there's this whole culture around it, and all around the world, people have been doing what I was already doing and not knowing it.
Yeah. I mean, there is an artistic element to zine making. Do you think that you have to be an artist to make zines?
No, absolutely not. Anybody can do it. And I really recommend that anyone can do it. Artistic experience is great, but not required. Some zines out there are completely text-based. Some are cut and paste. Some are stick figures drawn. Some are beautifully illustrated and photography zines. They really can be about anything. And the whole point is really the expression, getting it onto paper, and the community of it, sharing it with other people. Some of my favorite zines that I've acquired over the years. One is just a picture of dinosaurs from a kid's history book that someone put googly eyes all over. And it doesn't mean anything and it doesn't have to, but I cherish it so much because who'd have thought?
Yeah. And you do a lot of zine trading with other artists. What is the zine community like? What is it like to be a part of that?
Oh, that's really interesting. I've gotten to know so many interesting people from around the world and heard so many different stories, like first-person stories. And I think that's what I love so much about the communities. It's all very first-person, normally, you know, true-life story. Like, you can pick up a Time magazine or a People magazine talking about, you know, the topics of today, war, inequality, gender rights, etc., etc. And when you get these, you know, fancy magazines, it's all ad-driven, editorial-based, coming from one place down. Whereas when you read a zine about war or gender equality or human rights, you're reading a first-person perspective, how they felt when they wrote it. And I think it's just so much more raw and real that way.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the timeliness of it too, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, it's interesting because I've noticed, like, a resurgence in print too, where, like, Biblioasis has been doing this notebooks series, and it's the idea of getting sort of almost treatises out to the people in realer time than a book takes to publish,
yeah.
Right? Because the world is moving so fast. So it gives you a capacity to respond to it in a much quicker 100%. Way.
100%. And there's the feeling of real paper in your hands and how the words transcribe through the paper into your hands, into your body and absorb. And it's a weird feeling, and I don't know how to explain it really, but that it's a real sense that you can get from non-digital reading now. Mm-hmm. And to have it so accessible so quickly, like, you could write your ideas out on one piece of paper, fold it into a zine, and distribute it tomorrow. You don't need to wait for an editor or a publisher to get your idea out there.
And it's yours and you own it.
Right, exactly. Do you want to talk a little bit about this workshop series that you're putting on, what the intention is behind it for you as an instructor, and what you're hoping for students to get out of it?
Oh yeah, I'm super excited for the Word Lab zine makings because I get inspired from watching other people make, first of all. So for me, it's a real treat to be there. Second, to build this sort of community. I'm always very surprised that Kingston doesn't have more of a zine community like, say, Toronto does, Vancouver does, given that there's a lot of post-secondary institutions here and people come from all over with different, you know, stories and experiences to share. I'm just always kind of flabbergasted that there's not much of a zine scene in town. I mean, given, you know, people come and they go away for the summer and it's kind of a here and there, but it baffles me that, like, you know, there's a really strong music scene in town, there is a strong literary writing scene in town and art scene, but, you know, I want to see some more zines around. Like, yeah. I want to see more people doing it.
Is there advice that you can give to someone who's feeling hesitant, who somewhere in the back of their head there is this creative thing gnawing at their mind, but they're hesitant to get going with it?
Come to the workshop. No, but yeah, come to the workshop. Just put something on paper. Put anything down on paper. Start there. You know, allow yourself to believe that there are no bad ideas. Get something down and then see where you go.
What does the creative process mean for you? This is something that you do often. You're at, I don't know how many different tabled events throughout the year. You know, you've put a lot of time into it. What is its value for you?
Oh, you know, that's such a good question. It's the feeling I get when someone picks up something that I've made, whether it be a zine or a piece of art or something, but specifically a zine, and they flip through and I can see them kind of giggling at the satire a bit, and then that, oh my God, you made this? Yeah, I did. That feeling of just that connection, that's what it means the most to me. I mean, no one ever became a millionaire making zines, and I probably won't be the first. So, you know, it's not like I'm in it for the money. I'm in it for the expression and getting thoughts out there and meeting people and seeing their reaction to them.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think many writers are making a ton of money, but do you have a fun prompt that you might offer listeners who want to do a little bit of creative writing?
Oh, yeah. Let's go with you. Hear a funny noise coming from a dark alleyway, and you gotta find out what's down there. What are you bringing with you?
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'll get some song requests from you. I'm feeling there could be a fun vibe with that dark alleyway prompt. But Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. And once again, Ryan is going to be teaching a 3-part workshop as part of Word Labs. Make your way down to Kingston Literacy and Skills and check out Ryan's workshop. 3 parts. Get your creative juices flowing. And thanks again, Ryan.
Thank you. This is awesome.
To go with this prompt, Ryan offered a few different song suggestions to get you in the mood, get you in the headspace, and just to enjoy. So we're going to hear a little bit of Prince, a little Aerosmith, French Canadian music, and maybe a little surprise in there, so stay tuned.
But I seem to get a kick out of doing your clothes. Oh, what the hell, you're always so surrender. What's this strange relationship that we hold on to? Baby, I just can't stand to see you happy. More than that, I hate to see you sad. If you love me, I just might do something rash. What's this strange relationship, ship, ship, ship? I came to you, love, I took your body. I took the self-respect you ever had. I took you for a ride, and baby, I'm sorry. The more you love me, sugar, the more it makes me mad. I just can't stand to see you happy. More than that, I hate to see you sad. Hey, honey, if you love me, I just might do something rash. What's this dream?
see. Can't be what you can't be.
Relationship. I think you and I got a strange relationship.
That was Strange Relationships by Prince, Last Child by Aerosmith. Then we had Eric LaPlante with Bobby Pin. I added in a little bit more French-Canadian content that I felt went with the groove, with Les Brassvires and Angle Mort. And of course, Ryan had to add in some shenanigans with the one, the only, Rick Astley, and Never Gonna Give You Up. Again, thank you for joining us this week for Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9. I want to thank our guest once again, Ryan Ewing of Pocket Thought Zines. Ryan is running a workshop at Kingston Literacy and Skills. Visit us online at wordlabs.ca to find out about all of our upcoming workshops and learn more about our instructors. Thanks, and happy writing. If you'd like to learn more about the zine-making process and try your hand at your own zine, you can join Ryan for part one of his three-part zine-making workshop starting on Wednesday, August 20th.
KPP Concerts has a stacked lineup of all-ages concerts happening at the Broom Factory through this summer into early fall. On June 27th, check out Housewife, followed by Friday's Child at the Broom Factory on July 11th. Then on August 10th, enjoy music from hip-hop artist Matt Mac, followed later by The Dirty Nil on September 19th. Then on September 26th, it's Petite Belle Ivaux and neo-grunge icons The Bridge City Sinners coming to town on September 27th. And then Yukon Blonde gets us into the fall spirit on September 28th. All shows are all ages at the Broom Factory and co-presented by CFRC 101.9 FM. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com.